Brothers and sisters, at this time, let us then and turn to our text, if you have your Bible with you. Please turn then to the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Mark chapter 1. And I will read for us from verse 4. Our text will be only from verse 14 to verse 20. Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 4. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let us again come to him in prayer. O Lord, we ask again that you will make us see our Lord Jesus Christ more clearly again tonight. Who he is fully God, fully man. And that the call that he has given here, the command that he has given here, that it will fall and reach soil, that we will all be seeking to do as he does, as he says. We ask that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I had some time ago watched some arborists trim a tree, which was quite fascinating for me to see, not knowing much of the industry. I saw a man climbing up into the tree, tie a rope onto a branch, and then, well, there was a rope across a higher branch, and then a rope to the branch that was to be cut. And the man underneath was standing, calling commands to those who are involved, the one who cut the tree, the one who was holding the rope, and they were following his instructions very carefully. The branch was hanging over a house, so if there was a little bit of a mistake there, there could have been great danger, great damage to the house there. But since they followed what he said, and they followed immediately, one could see that there was a result of that, that it was safely cut down and safely brought down to the ground. And that is also for us then an illustration of how we are to respond, and how the apostles there, or disciples at the time, how they responded to the instructions of our Lord Jesus Christ and his instructions that he gave here to us in this text. It is something that we have to follow carefully, and it's something that we have to do according to this example immediately. Because if we do not do what he says, the damage for us could also be great. if we do not listen to what his words are, the danger is for us. It is not for him. So these are instructions that the Lord gives us. He gives to his disciples two instructions in the text that I've read. One is general and one is very specific. The general one we look at first, and it all, both of them in the same way, really requires an immediate response. So the main theme of this text is the Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed the good news. We must submit without hesitation. Being the gospel, the good news, is what we're talking about here. Jesus proclaimed the good news. We must submit without hesitation. And we look at it under two headings in verses 14 and 15. We will see the heart of Christ's preaching. And then also the second point in verses 16 to 20. We will see the response of Christ's call. So verse 14 says this. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Now, this is when we talk about a time that is fulfilled, we have to take in consideration the decrees of God, his will and his timing that he makes things. We know of all kinds of prophecies throughout the Old Testament pointing us to the Lord Jesus Christ and when he was coming. As early as Genesis 3 verse 15, we read about the seed of the woman that would crush the head of the serpent. We read about the Old Testament prophets, especially Isaiah, who spoke much about the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming and who he will be. And now we find this in the time and the way that the Lord has planned it. We find, according to the decree of God, that this was the time that Jesus was there establishing what he then says here, the kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled. The decrees of God, the Westminster Shorter Catechism speaks about that. It's very insightful, very helpful to understand this principle. The decrees of God are his eternal purpose according to the counsel of his will, whereby for his own glory he hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. So we can see even in things like these, when just about the time that is fulfilled, that the world is not chaotic. The world is broken in sin, yes, but it still is. Even the hearts of princes are in the hands of the Lord. That there is a logical sequence for things according to what the Lord has designed it. Yes, the sinful men and women seek to frustrate that. But it will, in the end, the Lord will do exactly as he pleases. According, as the Catechism says, according to his eternal purpose. His eternal purpose, what he wanted to do. We read this morning about he wants all people to be saved. He wants all men to be saved. His eternal purpose that he had, according to the counsel of his will. Those are also significant words. If we think about it, the counsel of his will, he has exhaustive knowledge about everything, and he has wisdom that is perfect. And according to the counsel of that will then, according to his good pleasure then, that he does these things, that he does it for his own glory. His glory which is perfect, and the glory that we owe him, that he had forth ordained whatsoever comes to pass. See, even in the Garden of Eden then, where the first, they call it a proto-evangelion, the first promise of the salvation that was coming, the Savior that was coming, even at that time the Lord has planned for this specific moment that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to make this pronouncement. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. That's remarkable if we think about it in the way that the Lord has made it. And we talked about it this morning about the Roman Empire. That was, the setting of itself is also quite remarkable. A major empire accessible to people in various ways, with an infrastructure, a common language, and a way that people can communicate with each other in faraway places. That was all together. We know, of course, how the Lord raises up nations and He brings them down. In the book of Habakkuk, we read about the Lord that He says, I will do things, something in your time that you will not believe if told. I am raising up the Chaldeans, raising up that bloodthirsty nation. That He Himself is doing that. We see the same thing with the Roman Empire. It's not just that the Lord allowed them to be like that. He raised them up for this purpose then, for His good news to be preached throughout the world. And we see the great results of that, especially in the first centuries. We see even an early evangelizing of as far as India and Western Europe and Northern Africa, according to the setup that the Lord has created and the way that He has created these backgrounds in order for the good news to be preached in those places. And then also, if we think about it, the prophecies themselves in the Old Testament, some of them are very, very specific. Like in Isaiah chapter 53, the suffering servant, we read about that. He was pierced through for us. The servant that was like a lamb taken for the slaughter, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. All those things pointing to one person. But then He speaks about the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, we know, of course, that the Lord Jesus Christ is elsewhere also mentioned as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the King of this kingdom. He is the sovereign ruler. He is sitting right now at the right hand of God. He's sitting on His throne. We read that also in Hebrews chapter 12, that He is already seated. He is not, it's not something that is coming in the future. He is already reigning as our sovereign King. With His divine authority and rule, we go back also then to the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. So there's not a square inch in this universe that falls outside of His power and His authority. So this is a kingdom. Book of Hebrews speaks about that as well, a kingdom that cannot be shaken, because it is a king that rules and cannot be defeated. So this is Christ's rule that He's talking, His own rule that He's talking about. And we see this kingdom of God then, that it is expressed even today in this church, that we are part of His kingdom. And as we see how the Lord is defeating His enemies, He defeats His enemies with a sharp sword proceeding from His mouth. So he is defeating His enemies by the good news, by the gospel. Those who are against Him are brought into submission and worship Him. The meaning of Christ's rule then is to bring into submission all of His and our enemies. All hostile powers will one day submit. And every person will confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord. Even those who are unbelievers, they will have to submit. They will have to confess that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Against their will, of course. But for us as believers then, that would be a glorious, wonderful day. That we can see our own King face to face, as Moses spoke to God, face to face. We can see the scars on His hands. We can see the scars on His feet, on His side. And know, yes, He died for me. This is the good news. I'm free. I'm your worshiper. I'm your subject. And you are caring for me. That is what He is talking about here, the kingdom of God. So what must we do? He gives us very specific instruction here. Time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Very simple. Repent and believe. Repent and believe the gospel. Easy words to say, are they not? Maybe not that easy to do, are they not? So if we think about it, what is repentance? That it's that day that I come to that point, whatever sin I have done, that I realize the depth of the insult that it brings to the Lord, the depth of the danger it brings to me, the death that all sin deserves. And I find myself in a situation that children, when you really don't like something, when you have something that you really despise to eat, but you spit it out of your mouth, you don't want it again. That's the way we are to look at our own sins, that we have something that's inside of us. We don't want it. We have to get rid of it. We hate it. And we mourn about it. That is the way that we are to do, how we are to see our own sins and are to repent about it. And then believe. Believe that we will be forgiven. That all our cares will be in the Lord's way, that He will resolve it. That whatever problems we have, that He is sovereign over all these things. Whatever trial we go through, that He will help us in a way that it is pleasing to Him. It doesn't mean that we will be without suffering. It doesn't mean that we will have an easy life. But it means then also that He will give to us what is necessary, because we believe then in the gospel. We believe in the good news. We rest upon Him, the only rock of our salvation. So this is the first command of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first command of the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to us in this gospel. This is a very heavy emphasis, in other words. It's not just an instruction, it's an imperative, it's a command. If you read it in the original language, it is very definitely a command. We have to do something. That we have to repent and that we have to believe. And it is also the danger of not repenting is there if we think about it. If we refuse to repent of our sins, we can just think about the hearers at the time. Many Jews heard this. They refused to repent. In fact, they later on went on and crucified Him. That's the worst place to be. If we hear the good news and we desire not to hear, to believe that is when we really are in deep, deep trouble. Because the Lord does not play games with us. He is faithful, yes. He is true. But He is also a God of justice. We really have to think about these things, that we cannot let any sin that we are doing, let it simmer. That is playing with more than fire. That is playing with eternal problems for yourself, eternal justice. So this is what we are to do then. Repentance is we get that in the salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. When we repent, we have that growth in grace then also, that we have peace in conscience, that we have peace with those we sinned against. We can have reconciliation, in other words, with those who we offended. And an intimate relationship with the Lord then is a wonderful a result of that. You see, in Psalm 32, for instance, with David, as he was sinning, that his bones were wasting away. He was troubled by the sin of adultery and murder that he committed. But when he repented of his sin, that he was restored, he was uplifted. He was repaired, so to speak. There was a closeness again between him and God, that the Lord has forgiven him. And that is what the same that we can expect. So when we talk about repentance, when the Lord Jesus Christ says we have to repent, yes, we are to repent of particular sins, particularly. When we know what we have sinned, we are to repent of that by saying specifically to the Lord, this is where I have sinned. Please, Lord, forgive me. Help me not to go back to that. It's also always helpful to learn what the Ten Commandments says and how we are to we understand these sins. And there is no salvation then without repentance. If we do not repent of our sins, what hope do we have? If we refuse these words of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are refusing a hand that is given to us with blessings that are more valuable than anything that we can really in this life understand completely. We are given eternal life when we repent and believe. So we see then also in verses 16 to 20 the response to Christ's call, where it says here, passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, followed him. Now we have to understand at this point, people already knew about the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was speaking about him already in verse 7, where he says, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. But then we also saw, just after that, the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the other Gospels, we also read about that. That was something that was memorable. Something happened there that people couldn't really understand at the time, I'm very sure. When you see the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove, and then also a voice out of heaven, speaking an audible voice, saying, this is my beloved son. So there is something about him then that people must have known about him. So he must be known already at this time by those he came to at this point, Simon, Andrew, and also James and John. So there is a link then between these men as we read about him, as the Lord Jesus Christ called them into service. That they were called first as his disciples and then later on sent as his apostles. The foundation then, as we read in the book of Acts, of the church itself, linking again with the kingdom of God, as the kingdom of God is then the expression we have today of the king of the church is the kingdom of God expressed in as we see it today. But he tells them here, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. They were already fishers. They knew what it was. They knew what a fisherman was, what they had to do. Throw out a net, bring in those that are, or bring in those things that we then buy or that we then sell to make an income, to get to increase what is ours then. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ said to them. I will make you fishers of men. I will send you out to bring in those who are to be in my kingdom. But then we see that what they did. Verse 18 says, and this we see with Simon and Andrew, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately. And then verse 20 with John and James. And immediately he called them and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. How many of us would do the same thing if called that we would just leave our work behind, and especially a family business? What did those men see? What did they understand? What motivated them then to just leave everything behind and then seek to follow him, to be called fishers of men? This is a burden that they didn't know that was coming, that they would one day be persecuted even for the sake of Christ. But they did it anyway. They were responsive. They were immediately responsive. And then we see what happened to them as well as we read the gospel, how they were transformed through the time. Like Simon the Fickle became Simon the Rock. That he was learning to trust more and more. He was an untrustworthy man in the beginning, but he even betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, we know, at his crucifixion. But he was called Cephas later on. He was called the Rock. That he was a man who was preaching faithfully and openly. We see that on the day of Pentecost. Openly proclaiming the Lord. Knowing at that time, even at Pentecost, the danger that they were in, because the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified not too long before that. But that he was openly proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the things that we see how they were changed and transformed. And that is also what we can expect when we follow him, when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that he transforms us. That we become more strengthened in his word. We become more understanding of what it is. There very often is a radical change in people when they come to that understanding that they have to follow the Lord. And maybe you can testify yourself about that. We know a man who was in our presbytery for some time. He's now in a different denomination. Our brother Lowell Ivy, who was in prison for many years because of armed robbery. He speaks about it openly. Came to repentance in prison, in solitary confinement. His life changed radically. Not only did he become a disciple, he went on to study further. He was ordained and now serves as a pastor, working amongst those who are lost in prisons. That's the kind of thing that we can expect when we submit to this command that the Lord Jesus Christ also gives. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent of our own shortcomings. Don't rest on ourselves. Rest on him. He changes us. Leave those old things that were a burden for us behind. And go ahead and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the submittance that I was speaking of earlier. We submit to him, submit to his will. Seek to please him, not only ourselves and what we desire to have. And I can testify to this when I was in Romania some time ago, 2 years ago or so, that I thought about this when the Lord Jesus Christ called Andrew, the Apostle Andrew, that the people there in Romania told me about this man who even during the time, just after the time of Christ, that he was able to reach as far as that country, far from Israel, far from where he was, where he was sent from. That we see that the gospel that was spread, that the victory that the Lord already had in that time, that the kingdom of God was already spread so far, and that we can see through that even the faithfulness of our Lord as he is proceeding. So that should be for us an encouragement as we read these things. Yes, we have to submit, but we can see, if we keep an eye on what happens as the gospel is spread, we can see that there is a building up, that there is a strengthening of his kingdom, a spread of his kingdom, even in faraway places, like in China, or like in Myanmar, where I happened to be involved with a work through ITEM, country that's under persecution, that there is a small group of men that are right now being trained to be pastors, submitting to this, under great danger, some of them, to be servants of the Lord, expecting that there will be great reward for that in being submitting to them. So let us then also think about these things. Think about how He wants us to do, what we must do in our own lives, and that we will follow Him also as He desires us to follow Him. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank You again for these words of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the hard service that He has done. We thank You for the benefits that we reap from that. We thank You that He strengthened even those apostles so many years ago, that even now we reap the benefits of that. Oh Lord, we pray that You will do the same for us and strengthen us in our daily battles, our daily struggles, that we will also keep our eyes on Him, that we will do as He says, that we have to repent and believe. We ask that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.